This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
The following podcast is scheduled for one fall, and there will be no disqualification. Making their way to the ring from lineupmedia.fm at a combined weight of 849 pounds, the Three Horsemen.
I guess we're here. That was quick.
Ho!
Turn me down.
Welcome to the show, T.O.
Turn me down, Shorty.
I like your energy level today.
Yeah, well, part of it. So anyway, What's up, gents? The wrestling snob. Corey is here with T.O. and Big Easy.
What's your website?
WrestlingSnob.com.
Actually, TheWrestlingSnob.com.
TheWrestlingSnob.
I am the URL snob. I will make sure you get it right.
Yes. At thewrestlingsnob.com, you can find such things as matches from the 1920s, interviews with wrestlers' wives that passed away 60 years ago.
Ooh, I love that.
Corey did a great interview with some...
Frank Gotch's ex-girlfriend.
It's a kid. Because Frank Gotch, Frank Gotch passed away in 1912.
What surprised me... was the collection of used, like, in-ring attire, like, yeah. Old 50s, like...
Yeah, it was crazy.
Ruse, you know, under-ruse?
Well, remember...
It's weird.
I mean, the other thing we found out about the Trunks. Wrestling snob, he has an animal, and it was a bear that... It's the great-grand bear that Baron von...
Raschke.
...wrestled.
Okay.
So he's actually taking care of the great-grand cub. That wrestled.
Okay, real
Baron.
Quick, I would like to say that they would have never had a wrestling bear up in the Minnesota. Anyway.
Sorry. Get real technical where he's from. Oh,
they do that shit down south.
Yeah. Do they?
These are dicks, man.
Yeah. Wrestling dicks. Buddies? Fuck. I got wrestling cubbies.
Whoa.
Wow.
Excuse me.
Whoa. I reached on that one, and I'll quit.
Somebody's cranky or a little jacked up, are you today?
You know, federal government, state.
If what you think about that candy you just had is true, you won't be jacked up for long.
If what?
Said if what you think about that candy you just ate is true.
Yeah, I just sent a text trying to figure out if I'm
going to be like royal.
Drive my car through a fucking wall because we work with infants.
I wish somebody would dose me. Why does that never happen to the people that want it to happen?
They do all the time. It just doesn't.
It's called free drugs.
It's called tolerance.
It could be. I've been dosed 100 times, and it's been like, eh.
I've been trying to date rape you for 3 years, and I just can't get it through to you.
The last time a guy brought in brownies, I had one of those, real big fat brownie.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
I didn't touch you?
Not a thing.
Wow. I ate one of those the night of the Royal Rumble, and Corey was at my house, and I've never been like a...
Doper?
Yeah, dude, I had a panic attack.
Doper?
I had to get Corey out of the house and get in bed so my wife didn't know, which she probably knows now. But it freaked me the fuck out.
Really? You had a whole panic attack?
Yeah.
Man, that's a bummer.
Real panic attack.
Speaking of, it's 420 today. That's why we bring this up.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, Jesus back Christ. To the matter at hand.
What is the matter at hand, gentlemen? You need to bring it to me. Bring it to my attention. What do you got?
Well, as the master of topics, I've come to call myself.
That you are, Edward.
Today we'll be talking gimmick matches, our favorite gimmick matches from history. Not necessarily specific instances, though I'm sure there'll be plenty.
Yeah.
More like the concepts behind them.
Yeah, well, and it's a perfect week to do so, Corey, because one of the biggest gimmicks, no. You know, Monday night, they did another huge gimmick with Strowman to try to continue to get him over. And I ask you the question, so there was no big bumps leading up to that. And this will be all we talk about from the current product.
Yes.
Probably.
Yes.
But they obviously come out before the match. Is it just a hydraulics thing that they did? Like, how do you think they were able to have a 4 or 5 minute match in there and then you know, do the suplex from the second rope. And
I'm sure the secret's out there somewhere. I've never heard it.
Yeah.
I know that the ring posts were different, and they took away the LED apron for that night. I don't know if it was that. I haven't either. Show.
I just saw the highlight of it. You're right, though. If the LED apron would have been there, it wouldn't have been able to
fall.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
First off, the best part of that was the referee falling out of the fucking ring.
Didn't you text me like, that's the best bump I've seen in years?
It was the best bump. The guy fell out of the fucking ring as it collapsed.
So here's a quote.
And somehow didn't break his neck in the process.
From Big Show about another time they did that with him.
Right.
Lesnar, was it? Lesnar and Big Show?
Yeah, I believe so. Mm-hmm. So they had lifted the ring a couple inches. Okay, let me restart. In that time, Ellis Edwards, the WWE stunt coordinator, had airbags placed on the ring. So they had lifted the ring up a couple inches. When I'm standing on that top corner, the ring is like standing on marbles because it's moving.
Ugh.
Of course, I got my fat ass up in the air, 500 pounds on a not very stable surface. So then the ring broke. And you don't know how the stunt is going to look. So it was perfectly timed, blah, 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 blah. So airbags under there. I guess they just collapse the airbags and the whole fucking thing just goes bleh.
Yeah, and the other thing that's strange, they went up to do the spot. It almost looked to me like they falsed. They went to do it one time and called
like,
it
couldn't
off.
Do it, yeah. Right.
So was that like a timing? Like we've got longer to go, get back
could
off?
Could have been. Was it the same corner? Were they on
yes.
the same turnbuckle? Okay.
Yes. So. Or you know what? It might have just been a because they got back off the corner and wrestled a little bit more. Mm-hmm. He hit that god awful knockout punch that he always
was
throws.
That the last thing on the show? It had to have been the ring
yeah,
broke.
No.
So it could have been they hadn't got the time they needed yet.
What segment?
The referee could have
yeah,
been.
That's
yeah,
what I'm
hey,
thinking.
Another minute or two, boys. We got time on TV.
What was the segment before that? Do you remember?
No, I wasn't watching.
Well, I'm curious if there was something with the lights out or Bray Wyatt to where they had the guys come down and start jacking with the ring.
Yeah.
You know, because all the stuff would have had to have been done with the lights off, like when they sneak the guys down, et cetera.
I don't know if it has to be done that way for the ring.
Yeah.
I know when I know what you're saying. Like when they hid, like we saw Undertaker go under the ring yeah. the night he came out. And
is this a new thing they're going to do every week now? Some sort of crazy effect? Like the week before they had Strowman pushing over the ambulance.
They're going to. They're going to get. They're going to try to get him over big time.
So every
then,
week
so
it's
he
some
be,
crazy feat that.
So
gets
he can be crushed in Chicago, which is going to go over perfect.
That's where the pay per view's at. Awesome. These guys could fuck up a wet dream with the hottest seven women in the world.
You know what?
They just
can't
help
themselves. Let me make sure on that.
Themselves.
I'm pretty sure because I'm almost positive. You know what? That might be the SmackDown pay-per-view that they're going to send Jinder Mahal in as a heel to main event in Chicago.
Jinder Mahal's in the main event, by the way.
got
wow.
me, dude.
Wow.
Let's see. WWE Payback will come to you live Sunday, April 30th from somewhere.
Somewhere,
fuck.
Boys.
Well, hold on now. Where is it at? Oh, it's in San Jose.
They don't give a fuck.
No, no, that's a dead town. Not dead town, but they're not big. They won't be smarky.
It's a dead town. It's not like St. Louis.
Oh, that place has become a nightmare, too.
You just come here to die.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Or watch baseball for no reason. Okay, so anyway, so we were talking about the effect. Do you guys like that when they do that?
No. Not when they do it the way they did it.
I tell you.
Really?
I'm watching it again right now.
Yeah?
And it's just so horrible. Watch, just watch.
Well, if you can't tell that ring, look at the freaking
ropes.
Oh, dude,
the
give
on
would,
the
if
ropes.
I were him, I'd be nervous as hell.
You
Five
can tell
later.
There's hesitation.
But just watch how much Big Show helps. Well, they didn't show it too much in this version of it, but he helps so much in that.
Some
so
of it almost looks like some of the stuff
bump.
Started the fall before they even hit.
Here's that ref bump again. Watch this.
We were watching it at home. You can watch along with us, or you at home.
If you
watch
want,
it. Right. We're watching it.
Cue
work.
It up.
3 minutes later,
hit,
come on.
Hit pause once they're in the air, please. Just slow it down. Slow it down.
No. They boom.
But there's not a lot of impact. Strowman hits first, and that whole thing goes when he hits there.
Well, it's going to...
How
sure
far
the
are those
next,
ropes pulling?
The next amount.
But even the... Like, the stairs go flying across the... I mean, that's kind of what was weird about that. What caused the stairs to kick like that?
This
that
whenever this
kick,
popped
yep,
up, yeah, because
right.
the stairs yep. straddle that, and whenever it went up, the stairs were like, "Weep."
Okay, and by the way, they've got to stop with these camera angles to these idiot fans acting like fucking morons.
It's just like after your, you know, the tornado in the trailer park.
It is, but no other sport does it.
I agree.
No other sport, and I know wrestling is not a sport, but they try to act like it is. Like in the UFC, they don't pan to a fan's response when a guy gets fucking a head kick, fucking knee to the nose. They don't pan to the crowd because there might be a knockout coming. They do this, and it's like,
well, and
keep the action there. Show the response on replay.
Fair enough, but every time there's any kind of bump like that in wrestling, it's standard operating procedure to slow the match down completely for a minute.
I feel like it's getting slow. I think it's getting worse, though, don't you, Corey?
A little bit.
You know?
Yes.
I feel like it's happening more and more. But let's move on. So you don't like what they're doing with Strowman?
I don't particularly. I mean, again, I'm a Johnny come lately. I'm really trying to play catch up on who these guys are, how they're being used, what their personalities are. Well, no, not particularly.
Why the fuck you're watching this?
I mean, that's number one question.
To give you some perspective, they haven't done this with anyone for... Was Rusev the last guy they really put some build into? And then John Cena shat all over him at WrestleMania?
I mean, build to WrestleMania, yes.
Rusev is a big bitch, man.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
And you should see his wife.
Oh, no. I know what I'm Googling now.
Young boys.
Yep. Who's the last guy they've built? That's a physically imposing guy, I should say.
They haven't had anybody this big.
No.
Ever.
That's what I was going to say. Who's the last guy they've had that big? That's an attraction. That's a guy, if you book properly and you build right, people will pay to watch him.
I understand, but you can say the same thing about anybody Hulk Hogan ever wrestled. I mean, they built those guys and had him destroy them.
Pretty much. They were
but
tools.
They knew what they were doing. They were also getting paid for it.
But it was also like quite Earthquake. Well. It was these guys,
the most part.
This guy should be the fucking guy.
If
they could build it right, he could be the guy.
Take that stupid-ass ring gear off.
They just made his first shirt. He's been in the company for how long? And had
2 years?
No merchandise.
It was, yeah. They never went solo with him.
No
like this
merch.
Before.
That's what you got. No merch in hell.
All right.
But so you think they're just going to feed him?
Yeah. You have to.
It's the wrong guy to
feed
do it.
Feed him and move his
it's
ass.
It's the wrong guy to do
get
it.
Get him
with.
Off the same TV show as Roman. Get everybody off the same TV show as Roman Reigns.
Well, maybe he goes there and can be the SmackDown champ. I mean, like, maybe that's, you know, something happens. He goes over there. Gender my balls is the fucking. Number one.
I don't know what the hell that is.
In a Roman Reigns versus Roman Reigns match, you think they would do anything other than a double DQ?
Oh, no. Because
they can't let him lose.
They'd both pass out to submissions because
neither one's
badass enough to tap.
Yeah. That's where we're heading.
And then did they keep him off TV? Do you know enough to know about that?
No.
Is
he not on this week?
They're playing a storyline or a... They're playing an injury for the storyline with the ribs from the incident 2 weeks ago, and they have him on a house show. So that was a huge debate. People were bitching about it online, like, oh, he's supposed to be injured, but he's doing a house show. And they were talking about in the 80s, that was commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
That guys would go through the airport with the injuries, sell the injuries. But did they wrestle the house shows back then or not? When they were selling a major injury? Do you know?
Sorry,
the wrestling snob in me is going to come out.
I'm asking you. No, I'm asking you. And maybe we need to go back to the earlier days, like the 30s, when they were when they were selling injuries and the
they didn't do angles back then.
They have airports?
No. No, they didn't.
So did the guys wrestle the house shows because they were draws?
How about a for instance?
Thank you.
So they blind JYD down in Mid-South, the Freebirds.
I would have did that too.
The Freebirds blind him. JYD doesn't leave his house, doesn't wrestle, gets paid through that entire time until he comes back to the Superdome show with one eye covered because he's blind, and he didn't wrestle that entire time. They sent Chris Adams, when they blinded him down in World Class, he didn't do anything. For the longest time. I mean, most injury based things, you just didn't have the guy wrestle. You sat him at home because the payoff was getting to finally see that wrestler again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure there are, for instances, the other way around, but you could go to a different territory and people would know who the heck you were. I mean, you could leave Florida and go wrestle in Texas. Okay. You know what I mean? I mean, you could say, oh, he's injured. He's gone for 2 months. He got hot. They want to keep him hot, get him out of here for 2 months. Leave New York, go work Minnesota for 3 months, however long, 6 months, then come back. I mean, they went through that. They did Andre the Giant injury angles. They did everybody. But, I mean, it's just depends on the angle. Some did, some didn't.
Yeah.
You just had other places to work.
So do you think he should be doing house shows?
I don't know what he should be doing.
Okay, so back to the theme.
No, I don't know. I'm just not a big fan. He should be a heel in the first place, and they should have flipped these guys and do a double turn at the next pay-per-view, which is impossible. But
well, I think it'll be the opposite, and they're going to try to reunite the Shield.
I'd like it.
Because Ambrose can't get over. I mean, like...
Yes, he can.
But I think The Miz is making him look bad in the segments they're doing.
I think anybody that gets in with The Miz now, he's going to make look bad. I think he's that good now.
And that's my point. So
it's awesome.
I think that you're going to end up having two guys that you're going to have reunite to help get over via The Shield.
Might be right.
Gimmick matches.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yes.
Yeah, we started doing what we said we weren't going to do.
This is going to end up being a two-part.
Yeah.
No.
Tomorrow, maybe?
We're going to do more gimmick matches probably next week.
Let's do straight gimmick right now. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's get all gimmicked up, sir.
Gimmick matches. Gentlemen, what's a gimmick match to you? What do you think of when I say gimmick matches?
Anything that isn't standard rules, which is 1, 2, 3 for the pin, DQ, your standard submission, your standard ways to win a match are tossed out in favor of another way to win.
Okay.
You can sometimes still win by the same methods, but there are additional rules now added, be it weaponry or more ways to win, changing the way you can win. For instance, a no disqualification match is
a very simple example of weaponry.
Yeah, from anything to, say, a kendo stick or a steel chair match.
Anything on a pole match.
Oh, the pole matches. Anything on the pole.
Vince Russo era.
Gotta love those. So
they did do things on poles that weren't Judy Bagwell on a forklift and Pinata on a stick and shit like that.
Who was it they hung over the ring, like way out in the middle of the ring in a cage one time?
Cornette, right?
Oh, that's been done forever.
Has it been? Plenty of times.
Scaffolding match.
That's different. Yeah, but those are cool too.
That's probably one of your favorites, right, Cor?
Definitely one of my favorites.
I always loved them when I was a kid. Those were rare, at least to see whenever I was. Of course, you don't see them anymore at all, but they were still rare back then, and always a treat to see.
Now, you guys say gimmick matches. Now, the WWE has changed. I mean, they make pay-per-views around gimmick matches now.
Fair enough.
Money in the Bank with the ladder and everything else.
But I mean, King of the Ring. Well, that's not really a gimmick match, is it? Because it has all the standard rules.
That's just a tournament.
Yeah.
My brother went
to the... It's still a gimmick. It's a gimmick in terms of what surrounds it.
Right.
For the longest time, they just had the TLC match.
Tables, right. Like, chairs.
And that was always an awesome match. And then what came from that was the Money in the Bank, which those were... I mean, don't you agree, Corey, from a spot fest standpoint?
It originally was the ladder match, though, before the tables, ladders, and chairs. Because I remember, who was it, Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels having some great original ladder matches.
WrestleMania 13?
What now?
Was it 13?
What WrestleMania did they do?
WrestleMania 9.
Seems way late.
Take that back. I'm sorry. WrestleMania 10. My fault.
Didn't they do it? Yeah.
So
go ahead.
No, you're right.
They've turned the table, ladders, and chairs into an entire pay-per-view. My brother, it was in Nashville 2 years ago, my brother went and he said it was awful. Like, one of the matches was a stairs match.
Yeah.
Like, the fuck is a stairs match? I mean, like, it's just...
I think I kind of remember that.
Yeah, it was just dumb.
I was looking up, and see, this is why we're going to end up having to do... longer than what we get into today, but you talk about like the ladder match. So the ladder match came about in Stampede. So Bret Hart knew this. He liked this match. He said, hey, save this for me. I want to do this match, mm-hmm. according to him. So they get to that WrestleMania 10. He's already wrestling his brother. He's doing that. They set up, and they actually had one before this. Hart and Michaels did. They had a ladder match, late 92, somewhere in there. They did it. So then they say, all right, it's going to be Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon.
He's 92.
Like, yeah. He's like, what the hell? This is my thing. We came up with it. My, you know, had it. And I think it was Jake Roberts and, man, this is a second Junkyard Dog reference, Sylvester Ritter. And it's on the tables or ladder match DVD from 15 years ago, whenever it came out. But that was how that got. And it's weird that there are backstories to all these. What is your guys' favorite gimmick match?
That's like saying, what's my favorite food, sir? Or my favorite color? I mean,
You don't have a favorite among all of them?
I guess. I always loved a Hell in a Cell match. Those were some, you know, your cage matches. Whatever. I mean, there's some good, there's some bad, but cage matches were always fun.
Based on the last Battle of Atlanta, yes.
Royal Rumble.
Sure.
Was always awesome.
Sorry. You like the Royal Rumble?
But the Money in the Bank, some of those.
Are good.
It depends what talent's in the match.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I remember, and I forget what WrestleMania it is, but Flair took the awful bump to start WrestleMania in the Money
22.
In the Bank. That's a great match.
I love that match, and they don't give that much props.
So depending on the talent, I really like the Money in the Bank match because, you know, you just get some crazy bastards doing some stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it's just one-upsmanship. And then when you get some of those guys, I mean, and it's another one, another guy that I really thought never got the props and the respect, Shelton Benjamin was awesome in those matches.
Totally.
The athleticism that comes out of some of these guys in these matches, you're just like, holy shit. And this has nothing to do with him being built similar or being black or anything like that, but Apollo Crews, I'm dying to see him in a Money in the Bank match. Because the guy does power moves, the guy does high spots.
And he's going to do exactly what Shelton Benjamin did, which is not win.
Yes, but I think he could put on a similar performance.
There's a guy who should have been in our tournament.
Shelton Benjamin, really?
Yeah. I'm a big Shelton Benjamin fan.
I loved him.
I like Charlie Haas.
The match that T.O. is talking about,
racist.
It was in Chicago at WrestleMania 22. And we're watching it. We're back, so we're facing – we're on the floor, but in the back looking towards the ring, and behind the ring is the stage. So Benjamin gets up, hard camera side, so you can't see him. He stands on the apron, hops up on the top rope, and jumps onto the standing ladder in the middle of the ring, and the place just was like, wow.
Oh, that's a beautiful move.
Oh, dude, that guy.
Can you imagine how many times he had to practice that to get it right? Because if you fuck that up, you look like a total asshole. That's
he did some similar things in the next years at Manias. He did incredible things.
He wrestled heavyweight at Minnesota, too. He was actually the heavyweight before Lesnar, I'm wanting to say.
I think so.
In Minnesota. So, I mean, just a freak athlete. And it's another one of those things. I don't think people realize how big he is. He's a big boy.
See, I thought he was like a 220 type of guy.
But heavyweights in wrestling, what do you go? 250?
285 is the max.
Is that super heavyweight or is
no,
that heavyweight?
No, just heavyweight. 285 is the max. So the last weight class is 197, I'm wanting to say.
So it covers that much?
Yeah, from one, and that's the big deal right now in college wrestling. There's this dominant heavyweight. He actually won a gold medal as a sophomore in college, but he only weighs 225.
Jeez.
And he's just beating guys that weigh 280 that are at the limit. And it's like, what sport on a one-on-one could you go up and give 60 pounds to someone? And, I mean, he went undefeated. I mean,
he shouldn't be able to do that anywhere.
Really, really good. But he's a... It's funny because they brought this kid's name. His name's Kyle Snyder. And like, oh, will he be a wrestler? Like, because he's kind of a fan of WWF.
Briscoe gets a hold of him, yes.
But he's wanting to fight. He's already made it known that he's going to do MMA.
Like, good for him.
But that's something. I mean, I know
he should do MMA while he can, and then do WWE when he can't anymore.
It's getting away from the gimmick match, but
it's all right.
WWE start losing wrestlers guys that would be really good talents.
No, you start gaining guys that aren't making money in UFC.
Well, Cormier is going to end up, Daniel Cormier will end up being a UF or a WWF wrestler because he's really into it. But
good,
he's,
they'll bring back managers.
But he's but he's built like our dad.
Oh, well, he can't talk.
Oh, he's horrible.
Yeah. I mean, it's so
I wish my dad was built like him.
Back to gimmick matches.
Yes.
Anyway, so you guys, you were a...
I'm a cage match.
You're a
battle royal, yeah.
I am... The first one I thought of when I thought of gimmick matches was War Games.
I loved it.
Because War Games was, one, you knew you were going to get blood, which as kids, I mean, you...
Right.
I mean, it's the old Wahoo McDaniel. I mean, red turns into green. And those matches, they jumped the shark at the end when they had the bad guys win for no reason. But, of course, it was NWO time. But, man, I remember, and I know you guys will know what I'm talking about. When we were kids, we used to go to the video store to get the videotapes.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And the first Great American Bash 87 was War Games, and they had the cage. That was the cover of the video. And, it was, of course, it was the big plastic one that you had to, like, open.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear I wore that videotape out from whoever I rented it from, Very Video or whoever the hell it
was. You know what's crazy?
We used to get
them
from Flicks in East Dalton. I don't know.
So remember Battle Bowl?
I think I remember that one.
That gimmick match?
Mm-hmm.
To where it was like a tag team and then...
That's Starrcade 91. That's the cover. God, that might just be our new logo.
just
us
that.
Behind the cage.
So
I didn't like Battle Bowl at first. I've gone back and watched it and enjoyed the hell out of it.
So they
the first one.
They randomized the tag teams, who your
right.
partner was.
Right.
And then if you won, you got put into a battle royal.
Mm-hmm.
And there was two rings.
That was to get Sting over again.
What was the reason for the two rings?
Two ring elimination battle royal.
So there were so many people in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I thought the War Games was a 4-on-4.
This was Battle Bowl.
Oh, we move. War Games was originally 5-on-5, and then they did variations of 4s and 5s from there.
Sure. You don't want to take away too much from like a Survivor Series type of thing.
No.
You get 4-on-4, that's where you start.
I think one of the last ones they did was like 3-on-3, too. It was dreadful.
Speaking of Survivor Series, there's a pay-per-view built around the gimmick match.
Love those.
The elimination matches, those were great.
They've really just gotten away from it.
Well, it's because we've got to have a championship match on everything.
We play that one. That's nerdy, but in Halo, we play a Survivor Series type of thing where, you know, everybody goes in 4-on-4, elimination match. You play it in rounds. It's pretty fun.
I can imagine.
Good time.
Literally, I'll have to imagine because I'll probably never play Halo.
So what are some of the,
that's your problem.
The birth children from, you know, so you had the Battle Royal, which turned into the Royal Rumble. You know, it came from that. So,
right.
like... The Hell in the Cell is from the cage match.
Oh, there's so many cage
so,
match derivatives here.
Remember, what was the one they did?
Triple
you know
Cage
what?
Tower of Doom.
Where
oh,
What's His Nuts won the Arquette, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't the first time, but it was that was in the movie. I don't know if they did that where he actually won the title.
They did it in the movie, and I think he helped
Oliver
Jeff
Platt?
Jarrett win the match.
Okay.
He turned into a bad guy.
What about the one where Hogan, this was before NWO, and mm-hmm. there was the Faces of Fear. Wasn't there a 3-level cage for that?
Yeah, I think you had to fight your way down.
Or up, and there was different people waiting in the
Maybe.
Cage. Because that's where, like, Brutus Beefcake was in it, mm-hmm. Abdul the Butcher.
Earthquake.
I mean, there was the shark. Yeah, they had the shark.
He was. He had face shark,
it's
shark
just
face.
You're talking about Tenta?
Funny. Yeah.
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 Big John Tenta. I found him in a wrestling book or one of those magazines that I bought. Is like, oh, here's an up and comer, John Tenta. He was a college wrestler. And I think a heavyweight.
So
Oklahoma State, maybe?
How was his physique in college?
It's not like he was huge. If you look at some old Japan stuff before he got very big.
Sure.
He was just a big guy.
Just a barrel-chested mofo, pretty much?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
With a beer belly.
What about the Elimination Chamber? That's kind of an evolution.
Hate it.
Not a big fan of it, but...
But that's... I was getting to that. Is that the closest thing to War Games? Or not?
It's their version, I guess.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, because they'll never admit that War Games was something good. Triple H might, once Vince dies, because of Triple H is a mark for wrestling.
You're taking away seats.
It's a good point. Because to put two rings in, yeah.
That's another problem. You're taking away seats. It's very hard to see when you have a cage.
You can't
like
see
that.
Fuck all in that Elimination Chamber, though. I've been to one of them. You can't see shit.
Brutal.
Have you seen TNA's their red cage they used that one time?
Yeah.
Their six-sided red cage back when they were still doing that shit.
See Jeff Hardy try and climb it?
You could. Yeah, it was horrible. You had to be, like, for one, a monkey just to get out of that goddamn thing because you had to climb the side and then monkey bars to the middle and pop out a hole in the middle. Yeah.
Yes.
Anybody and of size.
He climbed that to sit in the middle. It took forever.
I can imagine. And besides that, you couldn't even barely see what was going on due to the thick-ass red bars they used.
I know.
Now, the good old blue cage.
Love it.
The best cage of all time we need not go into.
They were talking about that.
Needs no introduction.
They were talking about that, like, I forget what podcast it was. It might have been Pritchard, but why they used that blue cage in the style. And
it's because of Hogan, right?
He was saying everybody assumes it was easier to see. And he goes, no. He goes, it was way easier for Hogan to climb the cage.
Have you ever tried to climb a fence in boots? It's not easy.
Well, at the old arena, we saw a blue cage match, and it was you actually could see a lot better. I mean, at least from where we were sitting.
What do you think?
Not like we were sitting second row ringside with 16 people.
I don't know what the dimensions were, but what do you think each square was, if you had to guess?
9 by 9? Something like that?
Size of this computer screen.
Really that big?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, think of how much.
You had to get Hogan's boot in. I mean, that was the width of the boot.
Yeah, a couple inches more bigger than the.
Poor clumsy bastard. Okay, now you guys are going super gimmick matches. Now, I'm thinking back. You guys are keeping it new school. I'm going old school.
Oh, God. We didn't even get into the cheesy, like the Inferno matches and the stupid shit they did.
How about the you don't like the dog collar match?
Dog poo match.
Oh, I don't know about that one. What match is that?
It let's see here. British Bulldog, 1999 against The Rock, I believe.
Oh, boy. Dog food?
Let's see. No, it was against Mankind. Where Mankind winded up bringing in a full tray of dog poo to the ring. The winner of the match had to drive their opponent into the tray of poo. Unfortunately for Davey Boy Smith, he wound up being the one driven into the poo.
Or was Russo gone by then?
I don't think Vince said no.
But remember every women's match was a gimmick match through that era. It was either a pillow fight, lingerie fight, pudding fight. Remember Sonny and the Slop?
Has any wrestling fan ever really dug these stupid women's gimmick matches? Like, did you ever watch a pay-per-view where they had the bra and panties match and didn't immediately get up and go fucking get something to eat during that match?
Well, that's the piss break.
Yeah. Well, when you're 13 years old, you don't.
It's true.
Bullshit, because I remember being younger and be like, oh, this fucking bullshit, I am not here for this.
No, but I mean, I remember sometimes
they're
saying,
more or less scantily clad every time you see them on Monday anyway.
Now it's different, but remember back in, I was actually telling Corey was over last night, Total Divas was on, he's like, oh, why do people watch us? And I go, if you think about it, the girls dress more revealing on this show than they do on the wrestling station now. Like, they're there at the pool in their bikinis, and you don't see the girls in their bikinis on TV anymore.
Yeah.
Now, granted, you can go on their Instagram and all that shit, and that's where the difference is for us, but like, I remember thinking in high school because of Jeff Jarrett, the one he smashed all the time.
Deborah.
No, the other one.
Jacqueline.
Jacqueline.
Her he nipple smashed Jacqueline?
Pop. Oh, yeah, that's like a big.
I didn't know that. I remember her nipple popping out.
That's what I was going to say. Her nipple popped out on live, you know, on Raw that night. And it was like, I feel like a lot of kids watch this, like, oh, I'm not going to miss this. And then they would advertise, oh, there's going to be nudity. There's going to be, like, so.
I wanted to see Sable every week.
Yeah, kids didn't know any better. You know, so, I mean, like, that's kind of the point with that. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
To be fair, a lot of that was pushed by Lawler screaming, puppies, puppies, puppies. You know, we knew what we had to look like.
It didn't hurt.
Not one bit.
But going back to gimmick matches, you guys, now see, I am a child of the strap match.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
The Russian chain match.
Same difference?
Dog collar match. No.
So
a chain and a strap?
No, I mean, same difference in rules.
Oh, yeah.
Just other.
Depending. Sometimes in the strap match, no, every time in the strap match, you had to drag your opponent.
And touch all four corners, right?
Yes. Russian chain was just a chain.
Man, you just beat the shit out of
you. Knew,
the chain.
Yeah. You knew there was going to be color.
Guaranteed. And those,
and you being in one of those strap matches, Cornette was talking about it on one of his podcasts. He's like, Those things hurt like hell.
Oh, I bet, dude. And I used to get the belt when I was a kid.
He said he did it was some type of gimmick match to where it was a lumberjack match, but the lumberjacks had belts. And this was all part of the bullying. It was tied into
Mara. I just listened to this.
Did you listen to it?
Yes.
And someone grabbed one of the fans' belts from out at ringside.
Steve Kern.
And it was one of the big, like with a big Texas belt buckle on it. And said, I mean, just got walloped.
Why would
by
you
it
swing that in? That's a dick move.
Because Kern was a bad son. Well, that's what they're saying. These guys were Kern.
Well, that's what Cornette's point was. He was like, you know, guys were bullies and dickheads back in the day, and you dealt with it in different ways. Like,
got your receipt on another time. Say, okay, I'm supposed to hit you with a racket next match. Guess what?
Yeah,
it's
I'm
coming.
With a racket,
and,
yeah.
And I'm going to potato the shit out of
Cornette
you.
Cornette just, the industry's changed, and he just can't grasp it on
he's
some
right
levels.
He's right, and he's wrong.
Yeah.
Because the whole bull, we're gonna okay.
Go,
we're staying
going
away
yeah
from bull.
I know.
But the bull rope match and one of the ones you guys brought up, the scaffold match. The Road Warriors and Midnight Express. But it had been done before that. I mean, it had been done in Mid South. It had been done in Memphis. I still remember the picture. I think it's Bill Dundee, Coco Beware. The Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, did them in Mid-South. I mean, that was a big deal to fall off a freaking scaffold.
There was another way you can win, though. In some of them, there was a flag.
That's, yeah. Starcade 90. No, it's not Starcade. It's Great American Bash 91.
I remember seeing
it. That is the worst
it
thing ever. PN News and somebody else against Steve Austin and
PN News, why does that, who is that?
Yo, baby,
there
yo.
There you go.
That guy.
The fat ass.
What are the teams?
Yo, baby, yo.
What are the teams?
God, I don't know. I just wanted to look up PN News again.
They were like a
PN News, Steve Austin
posse
scaffold, yeah, tell
I'm
you.
I'm looking. Bobby Eaton, strangely enough.
I know Bobby
Eaton. Steve Austin
Eaton's
and Terry Taylor.
Steve Austin and Terry Taylor. Jesus.
Yeah, the Great American Bash 91.
That's what Steve Austin was doing before he became Stone Cold.
Apparently this is one of the worst Jesus matches you will ever see.
Ever. 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 That is no shit.
What was the problem? Just so slow and they were so timid or what?
I mean, you have to see it to understand. Understood. It's dreadful. You really need to get the network.
I'm not running right out to see dreadful shit, though. That's my problem.
What about like a tape fist match? You guys ever seen a tape fist match? Mm-hmm. Or
yeah, I'm trying to think of any specific examples of it.
Brass knuckles match to where, you know, like if you got that, they'd fall.
Or what about any of the gimmick matches where you have boxing rules or MMA rules? Those were always bullshit, too.
Well, it was the brawl for it all. Oh, that was like that gimmick tournament.
Or you bring in butter fucking bean for whatever reason. Yeah.
To get...
Why would you not? I mean, why
that was dumb, wasn't it?
Yeah,
didn't he smoke
they,
Bart? And,
oh yeah,
after he had just won the badass tournament.
I get mean, the feeling that was a bit of punishment.
That thing just shit all over Dr. Dusty Williams. Oh. That was designed to get him over big time for an ultimate push.
Ended his career.
Yep, it did.
And that guy was a bad son.
I like Dr. Death, man. Mm-hmm. He had the coolest name, Dr. Death.
Yeah,
how'd you go wrong?
Go ahead. Sorry.
No.
Well, they missed the fact that, like, he was a badass and he was tough, but boxing versus being a badass and being tough and winning street fights.
Yeah, but you could do takedowns, too.
I don't remember anyone ever doing takedowns in that thing.
Oh, yeah. I think Steve Blackman did them exclusively in his match because they thought, oh, shit.
Who'd he lose to?
No, he beat Mark Merrow. Oh, boy, now you
really
got
and Mark Merrow actually had real Golden Gloves experience.
Oh, well,
that's sad.
Yeah, they shit the bed on it. I mean, I can't, and
fucking
Blackman. God, there's
a
story behind this as to how it came about. I wanted to say they wanted to make it more real or do something mm-hmm different, and they were trying to do UFC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
Uh-huh. Well, they were kind of
mixed martial wrestling.
They were kind of trying to control the outcomes, but they couldn't because for it to be legit, they actually had to have real commission judges and it had to be sanctioned and stuff.
Steve Blackman beat Mark Merrow, and then, Mark Merrow advanced for some reason. He won on decision, and then he didn't do the next one, and there's a reason for that. But he lost to Bradshaw in the next round.
What a dick.
Boy, I love watching that replay of Gunn knock out Bradshaw. He's got a glass jaw.
What about the World War III match?
World War III. That was
three
rings, three-ring battle royal.
60-men battle royal.
Mm-hmm. WCW, obviously.
WCW.
I'm surprised more luchadors didn't win that. I mean, yeah.
That's kind of a bad idea for a match if you think about, especially for a TV match.
Mm-hmm.
You got 60 guys in there and you got one camera angle you can use. Because the TV only shows one camera angle.
Yeah, it was brutal. They did the double.
Yeah, you can try that. But split. Think about that. When your TVs back in the day, they weren't widescreen for one. You had the 4-3 ratio. So you're looking at basically each half of the screen, you got enough to see one guy standing up.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible. Jeez.
Now, you guys are picking some tough gimmicks here. I like it, though.
The one I remember, like the first kind of gimmick match I remember as a kid that like really sucked me in, and I was like, man, like, oh my God. Like just being a kid and being naive to it was, remember the casket match?
Oh, yeah.
Because they did such a good job building the first one up.
Mm-hmm. You remember the
wheeling the
Yoko
casket
one?
Out, and he actually is in the casket. I mean, like they did some cool stuff with that.
The Taker Yoko one was awesome because of the giant fucking casket they had made. Yeah. That was just even oversized for Yokozuna.
I saw a casket match. It was dreadful in person. But I do remember the one that he made for Kamala because they were making it like you're talking about. And that might have been the first
one. Did they do like the – they did his body paint on the casket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't even think he put him in the casket. At the end of the, I think Kamala ran out of the ring. That
he was
Wembley.
Real scared.
Because
yeah,
he was scared of caskets, remember?
He was scared of the urn too, though. He had that whole thing with the urn, if I recall.
Great facials, though.
Yeah.
Buried Alive match. That was another one.
But his old lady
kinda,
used to tell me.
Mm-hmm. Kind of came from the casket match.
And if you go, see, and they had, in Memphis, they would have something like, and if you go back and look at like SummerSlam 97, they had eight matches with like eight different gimmicks or stipulations.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all from Cornette. They took his shit for once, and that was a great pay-per-view, and they didn't follow through with all the gimmicks. But if you go back to Memphis, they would have like dog food matches. And one that I like, the loser has to get their head shaved.
Those were always fun.
Oh, mask versus hair.
Yeah.
I mean, like, those were great.
President Trump versus Vinnie Mac comes to mind.
Oh, God, I saw that picture today. That'll be up on our website.
Hey, do the Cornette shoot when he talks about his guy that's the champ that goes up for a tryout with WWF.
Yeah, who was that? I think that was Doug Basham.
It was some, I can't remember who it was, but I mean, this is how dumb they were at WWF at the time with Ohio Valley, but just.
Yeah, he sends him up to be on the main roster, and they send him back, and they had shaved his head. And he's like, what the hell did you shave his head for? Now it looks like I got a 40-year-old truck driver down here as my main baby.
He goes, my goddamn champion comes back. Because was he the champion or not? Or his top baby face?
Yeah, top baby.
Comes back down looking like a bald 40-year-old truck driver. Get barely recognizable. He goes, give me 2 fucking weeks. I could have booked him in a...
Book him in a hair match.
A hair match, and everything's solved. You're telling me you can't look at him and say... This is what he'd fucking look like with no goddamn hair.
Put a bald cap on.
These guys could, these guys have no fucking imagination, and that's why the company's shit.
You do a decent Cornette.
In the meantime, thank you. Fuck you. Bye.
Corey does a good.
That's
Corey
even better.
Good.
God damn, it's like I'm sitting here with Cornette and Cornette.
Oh, I'm getting.
That'd be
one
a fun podcast.
Shirts.
Cornette v Cornette.
I am getting a thank you, fuck you, bye shirt as immediately because that guy. No, but yeah, isn't that funny that they couldn't. I would just want to choke people up. Anyway.
Do you remember the Arkansas Hogpen match with the Godwins?
Yep.
My boys.
Triple H in that one?
He was in one of them, I know that.
The Arkansas Hogpen match. Just what I had in mind.
What was Phineas's middle name?
Yeah.
He was P-I-G because Henry Orphis Godwin was H-O-G.
Henry Orphis?
Orpheus Godwin.
Orpheus Godwin.
Wasn't it?
And then what was the other one?
Oh. It was Phineas something Godwin. It was supposed to be Pig and Hog were their initials.
That's fantastic.
I got a
Phineas
Godwin's WWE.
How the hell do you remember that?
Dennis Knight was Phineas I. Godwin, just Phineas Knight, or Phineas Godwin.
Hog and Pig.
And Mark Canterbury was Henry O. Godwin, but it doesn't say their full names here. That's a fucking bummer.
Orpheus Godwin.
Orpheus, I believe.
What a name.
You know what's weird too? How your gimmick matches have changed. Like cage match, guaranteed you're getting color.
Right.
And I know WWF has all their WWE has all their rules now, but like, you get these guys in the cage matches, and they don't even use the cage. Mm. Like everything, like, and if the cage is used, it's for someone to do a high spot off of the cage.
Right,
it's
when you should just like, climb down the side of it and be done.
You're in a cage because those you hate each other, and there's no running away, and you're gonna fucking brawl, and then they'll have a technical match inside the fucking cage. The psychology never really matches up anymore with what's supposed to go on in a cage match like back in the day.
Bad guys don't even cheat.
You know, the false.
That's sad, man. Yeah. Hold your feet up on the ropes when you're trying to get a pin or something. Grab the tights.
Yeah, they don't do
that. Use a donut hole.
I mean, yeah. Remember the, like when your falls count anywhere or your street fights, like your Chicago street fight or whatever, like they would brawl into the concession areas.
Oh, I love Falls County Anywhere matches is basically what you're talking about.
Man,
right?
Those guys would be busted open, bleeding. The what was the Piper WrestleMania? Piper Goldust, the Hollywood
backlot
brawl or something.
Backlot brawl, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. But I mean, they.
That had, you see some lingerie on Goldust in that match, if I'm not mistaken. Gotta love him.
But there is, you know, those. They talk about in Memphis when they used to do, or Mid-South or whatever, when they would do the False Count Anywhere match that, like, I mean, those were some of the, or the street fights, the goriest matches you can imagine.
Great stuff.
And, like, it was the first time they actually went into the concourse and both of them were, like, bleeding like crazy. And I forget what the match was, but they were, like, pinpointing this street fight False Count Anywhere match to where... It was just fucking, I mean, like a bloodbath.
Yeah, the concession stand brawl, I mean, that was down in, I think they did it in Louisiana Gardens, maybe?
I can't remember
where. I mean, it was Memphis guys. It was Lawler and Dundee against Latham and Wayne Ferris, Honky Tonk Man. He was a blonde at the time. But they had, I mean, those happened organically. Mm-hmm. Like, they try and recreate it now. And it always looks like dog shit when they try and do it now.
But they built
there's a Wayne Ferris.
They built the storylines. They fucking hated each other, though, and you could believe that, man, once they get in there, they're going to fight all over. This is going to be a fight, not a wrestling match.
Right, and I'll give you another good example. They took the tuxedo match and made it into, like, Howard Finkel versus, what's his name, Harvey Whippleman, or... When they'd have two managers fight and it would be like Dangerously and Cornette. But they had a tuxedo match between Steve Williams and Ted DiBiase. Take that back, sorry. Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Ted DiBiase that you guys would actually enjoy. I'm telling you, when they keep getting Mid-South stuff on the network, it's worth watching.
Yeah.
But they did stuff like that. And back then, like those matches meant more than just like a comedy spot.
Yeah.
Which some of these kind of became. I mean, like, we talked about Judy Bagwell on a forklift and stuff like that and the piñatas and all that goofy shit that they did.
Very goofy, indeed.
And also with cages, I felt like there was a time in the... not as much now. Now it looks decent again. But those cages almost looked wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They almost look like they spray-painted them bright silver, and it was just...
They had to paint them, though.
Well, they quit.
I know.
If you didn't paint them, it's easier to paint them than it was to sand them.
Yeah.
By that, because you know how fucking chain link is. There's barbs all over just from the process of making it. And if you paint it, you take a little of the edge off.
Well, the one big thing they were talking about, like you're talking about the maintenance of it, what was the one? We were down in Nashville for a bowl game. We went down and watched that, and then a hockey game. And we saw was it four WWE trucks and like this truck lot
just chilling
just there. My brother's like, oh, it's always there. I asked someone and that's where they stored the elimination chamber or something. And it's centrally located, so
whenever they need the chamber, just send it out.
Yeah, they would send it this way or that way, but they quit having the match, so I don't know. Actually, they had it this year, but it was the first time they'd had it in
years. Stopped it for a couple years, I think.
What do you know about the Punjabi the fucking bamboo cage match?
I don't know what they were thinking.
So the story behind that is it was specifically built for the Great Khali.
Right.
But by the time they finally built it and got around to using it, he was suspended. So they used it without him anyway.
He did wrestle in one.
Maybe eventually. The
Punjabi
first
prison match? Is that what it was called?
Yeah, the Punjabi prison match.
Ugh.
God damn it.
What was some of the what about we talked about it when we did our tournament because neither one of them had won a championship. And you got very detailed about it and remembered it from SummerSlam. The prison match in New York City. Was it New York when the Boss Man took the Mountie?
I can't believe you guys don't remember this match.
No, that's one of the better, like, just thinking about it when I was doing some research on these matches, like, that's one that's ranked very high on the list of all-time gimmick matches by people.
You want the finger? There's the finger! No!
And how good the build-up was to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
That was a good match. That was, and I don't know that they've done one of those since. I don't think they've done any prison matches since then.
No.
Not a particular.
Well, they don't want to film anything and then see seven guys that used to be employed by the company.
Oh, that's true. No offense to anybody that has gone to prison or, well, used
I've
to work for the
company.
I've
been plenty of times visiting.
Have you?
Visiting.
You guys like the, do you enjoy the, and we talked about ladder matches, but when it gets to TLC and it's tables, ladders, chairs,
sometimes why.
And they've talked about, and Michael Hayes is obviously still with the company, but he'd set up these spots and these guys are just destroying themselves.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing that. I love a good gimmick.
But seeing a bump and then as soon as the X goes up and you're thinking, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And what worries me is you look at the guys right now that don't have belts. When is the next one?
Oh, I don't know.
Because you look at some of the guys that are positioned to be big timers. Balor's going to do crazy shit. Nakamura's going to do crazy shit. You have, you know, Rollins will do crazy shit. You have your best workers and your super talented guys that are going to get out there and try to do crazy stuff. Leave that for these 205 little fucks. And let them do it. But AJ Styles, you don't think AJ Styles is going to get out there and try to outdo everyone if he's in a Money in the Bank match?
Absolutely.
I mean, that worries me with the injuries. Like to your point, like I don't want to see someone that's could
on
be the next superstar get fucking hurt just trying to prove a point or, you know, making their name.
Well, it's always going to happen.
Like, even Kevin Owens in a match like that. Sami Zayn in a match like that.
Oh, you know Zayn's going to get hurt.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, got hurt walking to the ring.
Yeah.
How
oh,
do you,
my shoulder's up. But that's what got Kevin Owens' push.
That's true.
You know?
So, favorite gimmick match of all? I mean, you guys don't have a very specific match that you remember and you say, that is my favorite match that involved a gimmick
I'm
all the time.
I'm very horrible at picking favorites, but I did love the Iron Man match. Not the Iron Man match, like there was only one. But the Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Iron Man
You
match.
Like that. You can sit through an hour match.
I remember watching it the first time, the entirety of the match, I watched the whole thing. Enjoyed myself, thought it was a great match, great story being told the whole time. No pinfalls until the overtime. It was great, I thought.
I love the opener with Flair at WrestleMania 22. Love that match. I think I, for some reason, and I wasn't a big Hardys fan, so like, I haven't seen a lot of the ones that Edge and Christian were in with those guys, but that's probably my number one Money in the Bank match that I've seen. I love that match. The fact that Flair
totally
was in
understandable.
It. I mean, he got hurt. I mean, like, there was just a lot
he
of
came
different
back.
Parts. Yeah. Shouldn't have.
Shouldn't have. Well, he wasn't hurt.
I thought he tore his knee up, didn't
no.
he?
No.
Oh, I thought he got hurt for real.
No, he had. That's that was a play.
That's what they wanted
spot.
You to think, T.O. Good job.
It's a great spot. We were kind of hoping he was going to win that. RVD ended up winning.
I don't understand why they don't do that more. Everybody knows the sign is the X.
Yeah.
Why they don't throw the X up more and then create a
to
new
use
sign
it as a yeah
to get injuries over.
That's interesting.
Like there's another gimmick.
Don't give them a fucking idea, man.
All right.
Before you know it, they'll be wiping the bottom of their left shoe.
Yeah.
And I'll say in a close race, my tied for first is the scaffold match, Road Warriors and Midnight Express. But my first is one I saw in person, and that was Michaels and Taker in their Hell in a Cell match. Because that match, until
that
I saw
great.
It, that was the best match
I've
ever
seen. Well,
that
was the second
person.
One, right? Second ever Hell in a Cell?
First.
So that was before Foley's bump.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Foley took the bump the next, that was October of 97.
Is that so when Kane came through the bottom of the ring?
Kane didn't out of the entrance.
Yeah, okay, Kane yeah. the first ripped the cage door
yep,
off.
That's right.
That was in St. Louis,
match.
Right?
Yeah.
See.
Was it In Your House or was it a...
In Your House, Bad Blood.
Bad Blood,
Bad
yeah.
Blood.
With two D's in bad.
Of course.
That made it extra bad.
Someone die that day or the
Pillman.
Night? It was a Pillman death, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those fucking pay-per-views in St. Louis, man, they worry me every
bad
time
luck.
It comes.
They're bad luck.
We have one coming up soon, too, I believe. Mm-hmm.
So are we going to hit more gimmicks next time, or are we going to call gimmicks for now and could just revisit it someday? I guess we'll find out.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
And on
this Sunday. Any listeners out there interested to see us do another live show this week, we're going to be doing a kind of a crossover show, a dual promotion show with Surreal Talk, my other show. We're going to talk one of the most controversial subjects in wrestling, Chris Benoit.
Most controversial subject.
Fair enough.
It's an event that changed wrestling without a doubt.
So what we plan to talk about is we'll go over the actual facts of the day as they are known as facts.
Right.
We're going to talk about some of the conspiracy theories of who might have actually been responsible, been involved, what some of the possible motives would have been. And then I'd like to spend a lot of time talking about Benoit as the wrestler. Get the murder shit out of there. The guy was one of the greats.
Totally.
So I wouldn't mind.
The greatest ever. I'd like to go through and just read some of these people's theories, though, too, because, I mean, I've done a lot of research on it, and, I mean, there's just some crazy motherfuckers out there.
I'm going to give away some shirts, too, Sunday. I'm going to give away a bunch of lineup shirts, a bunch of Surreal Talk shirts. We don't have any Three Horsemen yet, but if I had them, we'd give them away. But I'm going to throw it out there, get some people in to watch us.
I'll grab some markers.
Yeah, we'll do some autographs.
Do some autographs. Yeah, there you go. Hey, bring the value of the shirt down.
Stick with us. Stick with us. That's going to be you are leaving early. Who are you kidding? So that will be Sunday.
Sunday. We go live at 3 p.m. We're going to do part of the show on our YouTube channel, part of the show on the Surreal Talk channel. So
all Benoit.
All Benoit, balls all day.
Insanity.
Yes, sir.
Follow us at facebook.com/3. Horseman Show, HORSEMENSHOW, 3 before that. Same thing, twitter.com/3 Horseman Show. And YouTube, if you're not watching us right now, then you don't know. But if you listen to the podcast, at least come check out the site, like it, do whatever. I don't know what you have to do. What do you have to do? Like the page or like this? Oh, you know, you need to subscribe.
Subscribe.
Yeah, be a subscriber. We only put out something once a week. It's not like we're going to kill your feed.
We might. If you subscribe, we might just blow you up daily with stuff. You could only be so lucky.
My feed is all politics, wrestling.
Is it?
And then some other stuff. But
oh, porn.
Not on YouTube.
I want that other stuff.
My God. Who would have thought? Who said they don't
know? Oh, there's a dark side of YouTube. You don't know
yes,
about.
There is. Oh, no.
Apparently you do know about
Everybody
it.
Everybody finds it. It's gotcha. Just like finding the dark side of the internet.
Yep.
But that's it. Join us Sunday. What time?
We'll be live 3 o'clock.
Live at 3 o'clock.
Central time.
Central
Chicago
time.
St. Louis time.
Surreal Talk.
New Orleans time.
They do a bunch of crazy stuff. We're going to get in on the crazy.
We'll make sure to put stuff out on our Facebook pages so there's links on both sides. You'll be able to find the link. We'll put it on our Twitter, et cetera. So.
Big E is our computer freak.
Well, I know a little bit about some. Anyway, next week. We'll see you guys then.
He's a brick house for Big Easy, for T.O., and the wrestling snob, Corey. We'll talk to you Sunday. Bye-bye.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
You need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.